Another thing the Lord kind of quickened to me this week, this is going to be kind of short, but it's, and this is June 24, 2018, it's called, this is the purpose of the storehouse. The purpose of the storehouse. Now we're going to look over the first scripture is Malachi 3. Verse 8. Well, let's read 7. Even from the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will a man rob or defraud God? Yet you rob and defraud me, but you say, in what way do we rob and defraud you? You have withheld your tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you're robbing me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes, the whole tenth of your income, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Improve me now by it, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer, insects and plagues for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine drop its fruit for the time of the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you happy and blessed, for you shall be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. So in that day, their offerings were animals and crops and these kind of things. So God wanted there to be food in his house. Well, the Levites, the priesthood and the Levites, that's how they got their living. They didn't have an inheritance. But what the Lord had, that was provision for the Levites, not just that, but to take care of the house of the Lord. Okay? A storehouse means a depository. It's like a bank. A depository, a place where something is deposited for safe keeping. Okay? All right. Now, let's look over to Luke chapter 12. Verse 16. Then he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man was fertile and yielded plentifully. And he considered and debated within himself, what shall I do? I have no place in which to gather together my harvest. And he said, I will do this. I will pull down my storehouses and build larger ones. And there I will store my grain and produce and my goods. And I will say to my soul, so you have many good things laid up, enough for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, enjoy yourself merrily. But God said to him, you fool, this very night, they, the messengers of God, will demand your soul of you, and all the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with the one who continues to lay up and hoard possessions for himself and is not rich in his relation to God. This is how he fares. And Jesus went on to say to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious and troubled with cares about your life, as to what you will have to eat, about your body, about what you will have to wear, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Observe and consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more worth are you than the birds? And which of you, by being overly anxious and troubled, cares can add a cubit to his stature, a moment of time to his age, the length of his life? If then you're not able to do such a little thing as that, why are you anxious and troubled with cares about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin nor weave. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And you do not seek by meditating and reasoning to inquire into what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor to be of anxious, troubled mind, unsettled, excited, worried, and in suspense. For all the pagan world is greedily seeking these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Only aim at and strive for and seek his kingdom, and all these things shall be supplied to you. Do not be seized with alarm, struck with fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So what's this saying? Well, this last scripture is saying if you've got fear, it'll block your entrance into the kingdom provision. That's what the Holy Spirit's been saying this morning, is learning to do it afraid. Go ahead and do what God's told you to do. Do what you know to do, but do it afraid. If the fear is coming against you, do it afraid. Don't let fear deter you, because it's His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Pretty well everything you're seeking, provision, food, clothes, it's all there. Okay. Your deposit into God's storehouse ensures your supply. Matthew 6:33, take care of His house and He takes care of yours. Now, Acts chapter 3, this is the baby church. We're going to have to return, it's Acts 4 actually, we're going to have to return to their ways. These babies knew a little bit. Okay, this is Acts 4:32. Now the company of believers was of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything which he possessed was his own, but everything they had was in common and for the use of all, and with great strength. In other words, they didn't have storehouses. It didn't say they didn't have things. It said they didn't have storehouses, basically, is what they're saying. What extra? Isn't that what goes in a storehouse, is what's extra, what's left over? They took and brought what was left over to their fellowship. And with great strength and ability and power, well, let me read 32 again. Now the company of believers was of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything which he possessed was his own, but everything they had was in common and for the use of all. With great strength and ability and power, the apostles delivered their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace, loving kindness, and favor and goodwill rested richly upon them all. Nor was there a destitute or needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses proceeded to sell them, and one by one they brought, gave back the amount received for the sales, and laid it at the feet of the apostles, special messengers. The distribution was made according as anyone had need. So, what did they do? They had things, but they, when the Lord spoke to them to sell something and give it, they did, to meet needs in the church. That's how they operated. And it said, no one went without. No one was destitute. And this church had some power. They had some power. They saw some things happening. Okay? We're going to have to return to the same thing. Okay, now let's go over to the Old Covenant. This is 2 Kings chapter 12. As opposed to the one that had his barns and laid up all the stuff for himself. Like I said, he decided to retire and then he died before he could enjoy it. There's a system for you. You talk about a scam. Social Security is a scam. When my mother passed away, bless her heart, all the years she worked, she made a whole whopping $400 a month on Social Security. And when she died, they'd already put it in the account. And when I had to let them know she'd passed away, boy, they pulled that right out of that account, that money. People work their whole life putting money into that system, and they get out of it very little. In fact, there was something I saw this week in another country where they had raised the retirement age even higher. They had like statistics about the average age that men live and the average age that women live. They raised it well above that. So these people will never get any of their money, a lot of them. Tell me ain't a scam. It's the world system, it's a scam. Anything the devil's got his finger in, you can bet. All right, this is 2 Kings 12. In the seventh year, Joash began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother was Zebiah of Beersheba. Joash did right in the sight of the Lord in all his days in which Jehoiada the priest instructed him. Yet the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burned incense in the high places. And Joash said to the priest, all the current money brought into the house of the Lord to provide the dedicated things, also the money which the priest by command have assessed, and all those bound by vows, also all the money that it comes into or man's heart voluntarily to bring into the house of the Lord. Let the priests solicit and receive such contributions, every man from his acquaintance, and let them repair the Lord's house wherever any such need may be found. But in the 23rd year of King Joash's reign, the priest had not made the needed repairs on the Lord's house. Then King Joash called for Jehoiada the priest and the other priest and said to them, "Why are you not repairing the Lord's house? Do not take any more money from your acquaintances, but turn it all over for the repair of the house. You are no longer responsible for this work. I will take it into my own hands." And the priest consented to receive no more money from the people, nor to repair the breaches of the house. Then Jehoiada the priest took a chest and bore a hole in the lid of it, and set it beside the altar on the right side as one entered the house of the Lord. And the priest who guarded the door put in the chest all the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. Whenever they saw that there was much money in the chest, the king's scribe and the high priest came up and counted the money that was found in the house of the Lord and tied it up in bags. So what is he saying here? Instead of trying to glean money out of people, they just put a hot box there to whoever will. And when it got full, they'd take it, give it to them that needed to repair that Lord's house. Today, it's not so much, yes, we have to pay the bills. You know what I'm saying? There's bills. The church has an electric bill or a water bill or whatever. But in essence, it wasn't to be wrenched out of the people, but it was a voluntary thing. Then they gave the money when it was weighted into the hands of those who were doing the work, who had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they paid it out to the carpenters and builders who worked on the house of the Lord. And I will say this, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so the money that comes into this storehouse has been given out to people in this fellowship as the Lord asks of it. And to the masons and stonecutters, and to buy timber and hewn stone for making the repairs of the house of the Lord, and for all that was outlay for repairing the house. However, there were not made for the house of the Lord basins of silver, snuffers, bowls, trumpets, any vessels of gold or silver for the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, but they gave it that to the workmen and repaired with it the house of the Lord. Moreover, they did not require an accounting from the men into whose hands they delivered the money to be paid to the workmen for they dealt faithfully. The money from the guilt offering and sin offering was not brought into the house of the Lord, it was the priest. Then Hazael, king of Syria, went up, fought against Gath and Philistia, and took it. Hazael set his face to go up to Jerusalem, and Joash, king of Judah, took all the hallowed things, and that Jehoshaphat, Jehoram, and Ahaziah, his forefathers, kings of Judah, had dedicated in his own hallowed things, all the gold that was found in the treasures of the house of the Lord in the house, king's house, and sent them to Hazael, king of Syria, and Hazael went away from Israel. Now, this king was a little more noble than some of them. He realized that the house of the Lord had been in disrepair. They weren't taking care of the house of the Lord. And so he began to realize this. And so he began to require them to start fixing up the Lord's house and taking care of the Lord's house. They needed money to take care of it. It was broken down, so they had to repair it. We're talking a physical house. Okay. Just tell me what the storehouse is for. Okay, to build the house and repair the house of the Lord. It's available to spend as the Lord leads. Okay, all right, Luke chapter 18. Yeah, them old dirty preachers, all they want is your money. Okay, verse 18. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, you who are essentially and perfectly morally good, what shall I do to inherit eternal life, to partake of eternal salvation, the Messiah's kingdom?" Jesus said to him, Why do you call me essentially and perfectly morally good? No one is essentially and perfectly morally good except God only. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not witness falsely. Honor your father and your mother. He replied, "All these I've kept from my youth." When Jesus heard it, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell everything that you have, divide the money among the poor, and you will have rich treasure in heaven. And come back and follow me, becoming my disciple. Join my party and accompany me." And when he heard this, he became distressed and very sorrowful, for he was rich, exceedingly so. Jesus, observing him, said, "How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." So he's talking about people that riches have replaced God. It's going to be hard for someone that money is their God. So that's why we have to be in a place where we're willing to turn it loose, whatever we have, as the Lord requires, not somebody asked of us or requires of us, but God, what God requires of us. It also pays the minister or ministers. The Old Testament, the Levites and priests received portions of the offerings that were brought in. Okay, now 1 Corinthians chapter 9. For in the law of Moses it is written, "You shall not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the corn." Is it only for oxen that God cares? Or does he speak certainly and certainly and entirely for our sakes? Assuredly, it is written for our sakes. Because the plowman ought to plow in hope, and the thresher ought to thresh in expectation or partaking of the harvest. If we have sown the seed of spiritual good among you, is it too much if we reap from your material benefits? If others share in this rightful claim upon you, do not we have a still better and greater claim? However, we have never exercised this right, but we endure everything rather than put a hindrance in the way of the spread of the good news of the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those men who are employed in the service of the temple get their food from the temple, that those who tend the altar share with the altar and the offerings brought? And on the same principle, the Lord directed that those who publish the good news of the gospel should live, get their maintenance by the gospel. So I'll tell you here in this ministry, I receive 10% of 10%. Whatever comes in, the 10%, I get 10%. I did for many years, I took nothing. And a couple of years ago, the Lord spoke to me specifically that I was to begin to do that. So that's what I do. So I do. All right, 1 Timothy 5. Verse 17. Let the elders who perform the duties of their office well be considered double worthy of honor and adequate financial support, especially those who labor faithfully in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, "You shall not muzzle an ox when it is treading out the grain, and again, the labor is worthy of his hire." Okay, concerning the storehouse, I do whatever I do whenever he says do it. We just looked at that. Whatever he says, you do it. Lord says, okay, go pay off their car, we do it. Or give them this money to move here, you do it. That's what we do. That's what we've always done. And with the first church that we had in our house, every family there was blessed by some way where the Lord spoke to us to give them an amount of money for a certain thing. So I believe that's what the house is supposed to do. It's not just all, I mean, I know a lot of ministries give away a lot to outside ministries, but, you know, there's a lot of needs just within your own. I'll do that. If the Lord says do that, I will. But we can't think, well, it's not for those inside the church, because it should be. I think it should be take care of those in the fellowship you're in. I think they should be the first. Anyway, okay, I just wanted to clarify that.